We are at the end of Siman Reish Mem in Yoredeh. Hilchos Kibud Av Va'en. Okay, we are up to the Shver. Respecting the father-in-law, father's in-laws, and grandparents. So the Torah says, maybe we should start with the Navi. Okay, the Pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chavdalid Pasuk Yud Beis. Okay, Shaul HaMelech is chasing David to kill him. Shaul is David's father-in-law. David married Michal Baz Shaul. And David HaMelech sneaks up on Shaul. He has an opportunity to kill him. He does it. He cuts off a piece, the corner of his coat. And then he shows it to him and says, look, I could have killed you and I did it, so stop trying to kill me. So the pasuk over there says as follows, the Avi, my father, Re'e Gam Re'e, et Knaf Mi'ilcha Bi'adi. He refers to him as Avi. Avi usually means father. Now, it's not so simple that Avi means father. The Torah uses this to say that you must respect your father-in-law. Based on this pasuk, you see that David calls his shver, he calls his father-in-law his father, and therefore, just like you have to respect your father, you have to respect your father-in-law. Okay, that's what the Torah and the Beis Yosef say. Now, if you look at the Navi, the Targum on the side, the Aramaic Targum on the side of the Navi over there, does not translate Avi as Abba. It translated as Riboni, my master. It's a form of covet. And over there, the Mitzudas Tzion brings down two opinions. Why is he calling him Avi? Either because the word Avi refers to an officer, someone who's great, someone who's very big, or because his father-in-law is like his father. It's not so clear-cut. It's not so simple. In fact, the Aruch HaShulchan says, Elisha Navi calls Eliyahu Navi Avi Avi Rechev Yisrael. He calls him also my father. Your father could be like, it's not only a term of my father, it's a term of respect for a big person. So the Aruch HaShulchan in general has a very big question on this limud, but this is what's brought down l'halacha. That one has to respect his father-in-law based on this pasuk where David calls his father-in-law his father. Okay, let's see that inside. Shulchan Aruch, Sif Chav Dalet, Chayav Adam Mechabed Chamiv. A person must respect his father-in-law. The Taz adds from the Bach, and his mother-in-law. Now, what I think is, I didn't see anyone point this out, but, you know, not everyone loves their in-laws. David's father-in-law is trying to kill him. And still, that's the source that you have to respect your father-in-law. Even if he's such a person, I mean, Shaul HaMelech was a great person. It's very hard to understand the whole story over there, how he wants to kill David. But even if your father-in-law, you feel that he doesn't treat you properly, he doesn't respect you, he doesn't take care of you, all the tightness that one has on the father-in-law, that's not an excuse, because David here is referring to his father-in-law as Avi. This is the source for respecting the father-in-law, even though his father-in-law was trying to kill him. Now, the Shach clarifies from the Bach, what does it mean, respect my father-in-law? Do I have to stand up when he walks in the room? Do I have to, like all the halachas that we've been learning, they all apply equally to my father-in-law like my father? How does that work? So the Shach quotes in the Bach that that's not the case. Kasav HaBach. I'm in the Shach, Sifkot Nechabez. Kasav HaBach, the Heimish is Samchu B'mixas L'Kovid Av. They compared it a little bit to the respect of a father, not fully. V'chayev L'Chadu K'mo She'ar Zekenim Chashubim. You have to respect your father-in-law, not fully like you have to respect your father, but you have to respect your father-in-law like you would respect respectable elders. That's what the Shach says. And the Pisrei Tshuva over here, in Ois Chaf, proves that the respect for the father-in-law is not on the same level as the father. Pisrei Tshuva starts Ois Chaf, Ayin Berheite, Duodin Chamoso. also a mother-in-law. Okay, v'chein b'vur shulchan aruch l'kaman. Okay, then the Pesach Tshuva continues. He says you have to respect him like Shah Zakenim. I'm in the Pisle Tshuva, Ois Chaf. I just skipped a line or two.
You have it on the bottom of the Tshuva? Oh, yours is really small.
You need to get your magnifying glass. Okay, I'll just say it.
I tried.
Now, we said that a woman's respect for her husband is supposed to come before her respect for her parents. Her husband comes before her parents. If the husband had a full obligation in respecting her father, then how could she have to respect her husband more than her father? The husband also has to respect the father-in-law. So you see that the respect that the son-in-law has for the father-in-law is not a full respect like you have for your own father. Otherwise, there'd be no room to say the woman's husband comes before her father. Like we said in Sif Yudalim, we said that the son has to give the cup of water first to his father instead of to his mother. Because his mother is also obligated in respecting the father. So if the son-in-law is obligated in full respect for the father-in-law, then we can never say that the wife has to respect her husband over her father. Because the husband also has to respect her father, because it's the father-in-law. Okay. That was a little bit complicated. It doesn't matter. Bottom line, one has to respect his in-laws, but it's not the same as respecting a parent. It's like respecting elders, respectable elders in the community. Hagah, no. Now we're getting into a grandfather. Okay. I'll give a little bit of background. So there actually is somewhat of a contradiction in Rashi regarding the respect that you must have for your father's father, your grandfather. And there might be a difference between your father's father versus your mother's father. Let's see. The Pasuk says, in the beginning of Vayigash, Yisrael, meaning Yaakov Avinu, traveled. Then it says, Vayizbach Zvachim, he brought sacrifices, Leloke Aviv Yitzchak, to the God of his father Isaac. And Rashi brings down for the Medrash on that pasuk, Chayav Adam Bechvod Aviv, one has to respect his father, Yoyser Mikvod Zikno. You have to respect your father more than you must respect your grandfather. And therefore, the Fichach Talab B'Yitzchak V'lo B'Abraham. Why does it say Yaakov brought sacrifices to the God of his father Yitzchak? You know, Abraham was the founder of the religion. Why don't you say he brought sacrifices to the God of his grandfather, Abraham? Abraham was the first. So he says, no, because your respect, Yaakov's respect to Yitzchak is greater than his respect to Abraham, because one must respect his father more than he respects his grandfather. Okay? What do you see from here, says the Darkei Moshe? You must respect your grandfather, just not as much as you must respect your father. You must respect your grandfather, but it's not on the same level as the respect that you must have for your father. The Marik writes that a grandson has no obligation whatsoever in respecting his grandfather. Now, you have to respect your elders in general. But in terms of my grandfather versus the next door neighbor who is also 65 years old, no preference to grandfather over the next door neighbor. So says the Marik. However, the Darkei Moshe says that you see clearly from this Rashi in Parshas Vayigash, not like the Ma'arik. You do have to respect your grandfather, not to the same degree that you must respect your father, but you must respect your grandfather. However, there is a Gemara in Makkos, Adaf Yud Beis, that discusses the terrible scenario, God forbid, where a father inadvertently kills his son. And the question is, we know that when somebody, Beshogeg, kills somebody else, the relatives of the one who are killed, they're called the Goel Hadam, and they have the right to go kill the one who killed, and he has to go run to Ir Miklat. He's in Ir Miklat, he's safe, he comes out of Ir Miklat, they're allowed to kill him, or there's a mitzvah to kill him. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara. The whole second parak of Makkos is dedicated to this topic. So there's a contradiction over there. What happens when a father, God forbid, inadvertently, Bishoge, kills a son? Is there a Goel Adam? Is there not a Goel Adam? So the Gemara has a contradiction. And the Gemara solves the contradiction by saying like this. The brother of the one who's killed cannot be Goel Adam. He can't go kill his father. But the son of the one who was killed can be a Goel Adam. He can go kill his grandfather, who inadvertently killed his father. When Rashi goes to explain the contradiction and how we answer the contradiction, Rashi adds in a bunch of words, the Eino Muzhar Al Kvodo. He's not, meaning the son can't be a Goel Adam to avenge the death of his brother. He'd be killing his father. Can't kill his father. That's not keeping up the aim. But the grandson can kill the grandfather. And Rashi adds in four words, Eino Muzhar Al Kvodo. He's not commanded to respect his grandfather. Now that Rashi seems to contradict the previous. The Rashi of Makos Yedei seems to contradict the Rashi quoting the Medrash, where my respect for my father is more than respect for my grandfather, but it still means I have to respect my grandfather. Okay, so let's see what we do with this. We are in Yeradei Reish Mem, Sif Chavdalid, we're in the Ramah. Hagod note says the Ramah, Yesh Omrim, De Ein Adam Chayav Bikvod Avi Aviv. There are those that say that one does not need to respect one's grandfather. That's the Maharik. However, continues the Rama, Ve'eino nirli. It does not seem like that to me, says the Rama. Ella, dechayim b'kavod aviv, yoiser b'kavod avi aviv. But you have to have more respect for your father than you have for your grandfather. And he brings up a raya. The proof is mimedrish, gabay v'yizbach zvachim. The Medrash in the beginning of Parashas Vayigash. Now the Taz, Sifkat and Chaf, says it's a tema, it's a wonderment on the Maharik. How can the Maharik say you don't need to respect your father? It's against an explicit Rashi and Chumash. Now of course, they answer the Taz and say, Rav Taz, what do you mean? There's an explicit Rashi in Makos Yedei that disagrees with the Rashi in Chumash. So there was someone I saw here. The Gilyo Maharsha on the bottom of the page wants to say that there's a concept of we don't learn that much from Midrashim. So he wants to say, he's commenting on the Taz. The Taz can't understand the Maharik. Says the Gilyo Maharsha, why can't you understand the Maharik? There's two Rashis. One's a Rashi based on a Medrash, which is more agadic in nature, and one's a Rashi on a Gemara discussing Halacha. So the Rashi and the Gemara discussing Halacha should carry more weight than the Rashi quoting a Medrash, more of an agadic Medrash. And therefore, the Gilya Maharsha doesn't understand what the Taz doesn't understand. But the bottom line is that the Ramah paskins that we must respect our father's father, just not to the same degree that we must respect our fathers. Okay, that's Sif Chaf Dal. Sif Chaf Hey. Oh, so Sif Chaf Hey, this is a very, very famous, this is the last Sif in the Siman. This is a very famous halacha. Okay, two famous halachas, actually. Okay. Let's just jump right in. Im ha'av rotzeh l'sharet et haben. If the father wants to serve the son. The father wants to serve the son. He's so proud of his son. He's learning in yeshiva. Comes home from a long day. And you want to take care of your son. Now, we're always serving our kids. He wants to serve his son. Mutter l'kabel mimenu. The son is allowed to accept the father's services. He's going to bring him a plate of cookies, he's going to bring him a cup of milk, he's going to, I don't know what, do his laundry for him. He's going to take care of his son. El in Ken Ha'av Ben Torah. Unless the father is a Ben Torah, is a Talmud Chacham. Then, the father shouldn't be doing for the son. If the father is a regular guy, so he can do for his son, the son's allowed to accept it. But if the father is a Talmud Chacham, then the son really should not be accepting the father's services in these areas. Okay, that's number one. Number two. Talmid shorotze lelechus l'malkom acher. A student wants to go learn out of town. Out of town yeshiva. He wants to go learn in Eretz Yisrael. His parents live in America. Why does he want to go to Eretz Yisrael? Torah is portable. He can learn in New York. Uboteach shiyira simin bracha betalmudu lifnei harav shesham. He knows that he's going to have more hatzlacha in the, with that Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. The Pisrei Tshuva adds up often Sifkat HaChabez, even if he thinks he's going to have more hatzlacha. Even if he doesn't know for sure, he thinks he'll have more hatzlacha over there in Eretz Yisrael by that Rebbe. So then he's allowed to go into that Rebbe. Let's see. The Aviv Mochebo, his father protests, I don't want you going over there. Why not? It's dangerous. Lefisha Do'eg, he's nervous, he's worried. Sheba Osair, in that city, Ha'ol De Kochavim Ma'alilim, the Goyim do trouble over there. There's terror attacks, God forbid. So, this is mamish, you know, unfortunately, what we're living with sometimes. The son does not need to listen to his father in this regard. Okay, this is similar to what we learned before, where Yaakov Avinu was punished for leaving his father. For all the years he was away from his father, he was punished, mida keneged mida, that his son Yosef disappeared from him. But the 14 years that he sat and learned the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Eber, and he did not keep it Avein for those 14 years, he was not punished for those 14 years, because going to learn in the right place is supersedes keep it Avein. Now supposedly, rumor has it, during the Gulf War, okay, I had this list to be here in Eretz Yisrael during the Gulf War back in 1990, and there were a lot of parents who were very afraid, there was a big threat of missiles flying, which eventually they did fly. And parents didn't want the kids to go. So supposedly someone went to Rabbi Yashiv and said, my parents crying, they don't want me to go to Eretz Yisrael because they're scared. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, I don't have to listen. So supposedly Rabbi Yashiv said, it says if the father's moiche, if the father protests, you don't have to listen. But it doesn't say if the father's boiche, if the father's crying. So supposedly, I didn't hear this from Rabbi Yashiv, supposedly, that's what Rabbi Yashiv said. If the parents are so concerned that they're boiche, not moiche, but boiche, then already you should listen to your parents. Okay, obviously, one should not, one has to think 100 times before mamish disobeying one's parents, even if something is permissible officially in halacha. It's something that's very, 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 very heavy question, needs to be dealt with very, very seriously, with very serious Mechanchim and Rabbanim, and is not to be taken lightly. Haggad notes, says the Ramah, this is the other famous halacha, V'chein yim ha'av moicha b'ben lisa eze isha shi'achbots ba'ben, v'tzarech l'shmoa el ha'av. The son wants to marry Rachel, and the father says, no, we don't like Rachel. We don't like Rachel, we don't want you to marry Rachel. Well, no, the son does not need to listen to the parents. So in this Sefer Pesachim Metshuvos, he made a very good point. When parents don't want their kids to marry somebody, they usually have a very good reason. And the children should think many, many times before they're so quick to throw out this Ramah and play Romeo and Juliet. Because a lot of times the parents have an insight that the kids don't have. And the parents know what they're talking about. So there's a halacha on the books that you don't have to listen. But at the same time, your parents are usually twice as old as you are, if not more, with a lot more life experience, and one should take parents' opinion very, very seriously. Now, where does this halacha come from? This famous halacha, I don't have to listen to my parents when they tell me not to marry Rachel. So this is a Maharik. The Maharik is brought down in the Darkei Moshe. You don't need to listen to your parents when they tell you not to marry Rachel. Why not? So the Maharik, the Ramah brings down two reasons. One is because I want to marry Rachel. I have a mitzvah to get married. And I have a mitzvah to marry a girl I like. There's one mitzvah to marry a girl you don't like. If I want to marry Rachel, so I have a mitzvah to get married to Rachel. And if my parents tell me not to, it's as if they tell me to violate a principle of the Torah. When my parents tell me to violate a principle of the Torah, I don't have to listen to my parents. That's one reason. If that's the reason, then it's a local din. It's relevant only to Shidduchim and nothing else. Or, you know, halacha in general. There's another answer brought down in the Darkei Moshe, quoting the Maharik, that is often quoted, but is not necessarily properly understood. And that is as follows. He says like this. A son only has to respect his parents in regards to things that are for the well-being of the parent. I have to feed my parents, I have to clothe my parents, I have to help my parents. Who says that I have to listen to my parents when they're telling me what to do with my life? It's my life. They want a drink, I bring them a drink. They want a hamburger, I get them a hamburger. They need clothing, I go to the store, I take them shopping, I help them in the car, I help them out of the car, I help them. But does keeping out of the aim also involve my personal life? I have to listen to what they tell me? So that's the other answer brought down in the Dark Emotion. Now, this answer has huge ramifications. My mother tells me to put on a coat in the winter. I don't want to wear a coat. Do I have to listen to the mitzvah keeping out of aim to wear a coat? So it depends on these two answers. My father told me, my parents told me not to smoke. Okay, smoking is separate. Isurim involved. But when your parent, your American parents tell you not to smoke, so the kid that does go to smoke, is he in violation of keeping out of aim, as well as whatever violations there are involved in not taking care of your health and smoking? So this is a very, very big machlokes haposkim, and there are people who are quick to say that, you know, we'll throw out this ma'ariv, but it's really, really, really not simple at all. And when your parents know that you're not listening to them, either because it's in front of them, or they're going to find out. Your mother tells you wear a coat, and you don't want to wear a coat, and she'll never find out if you did or did not wear a coat, because we all know that you don't get sick because you didn't wear a coat. So there is room to discuss. And even there, the post can seem to say you should still wear a coat. If your mother wants you to wear a coat, you should wear a coat, even if she'll never find out. But when your parents are going to find out, either if it's in front of them, but even if it's not in front of them, they're going to find out. So many post-game say that the first answer of the Ma'arik is the real answer, not this answer, and you have to listen to your parents. And there's a machlokes, if you don't listen to your parents, are you in violation of not respecting them, or a violation of not fearing them, or maybe violation of both? Certainly to act b'chutzpah, because you don't listen to your parents, certainly in front of them, but even if not in front of them, they can find out. So that which people are so quick to say that there's no mitzvah to keep it out of aim that doesn't relate to the parents, only relates to the kids, that is not 100% accurate. There are some opinions like that, but it's a very, very big shayla of one of the Aseres HaDibros of Kavanos Mechaveh Zimecha, or Ish Imo V'Aviv Tira'u, and it's not so simple at all that I don't have to listen to my parents. Now, if the parents are crazy and they do crazy things or something else, but they want normal things for your well-being. So there are many poskim who say that that is an obligation of the children to listen to the parents, either from Kavod or from Mora, or perhaps coming from both areas. Now, when the parents want the kids, my parents insist that I become a doctor, and I don't want to be a doctor. So, you know, how far do you have to go to listen to your parents? It doesn't make sense to say I have to be a doctor. I have to change my whole life upside down to be a doctor because it's my life, you know. My dad could have been a doctor if he wanted to be a doctor. Maybe he is a doctor. You know, so when they want you to do something, it's not much going to change your whole life upside down. So that's already, obviously, a very, very different story. So these are some of the big topics and big discussions in Kibbutz Avein. And with that, we are zoche to finish our first Simon Yerdeh Siman Reish Mem.
What if your parents are Democrats and what if you